Good afternoon and welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. We are here with you looking at CXC, what has gone wrong. We have representation from the union, students, teachers, organizers, all the stakeholders of this whole CXC debacle, this mess, according to the organizer. Before we went to the latest from Starcom Network News, we were speaking with Marianne Redman, and there was also a caller on the line. Caller, I want to start back with you because I think Ms. Redman has answered the question. They did not agree to anything.
Okay. First of all, I never said to you that Ms. Redman and her team was unjustified in protesting for payment for correcting CXC. So I say that was a waste of 2-3 minutes responding to something that she was not accused of. What I was talking about was that there were many issues of which that was one, and she fought that one but left the others unattended. She is saying that there were not the severity and so on. But the point is, if there were issues for years, how can a teachers' union see things that are affecting children over the years? Because right now it comes to a head where many children are affected. But if it was bad all along, it means that children were always being affected and the union did nothing about it.
Okay, stick up in. Ms. Redman, why didn't you all bring the nuclear option every since? This was going on very long. That's what he called away. I'll wait till it gets so bad now to come and kick a fuss.
First of all, Corey, I am missing some of what the caller is saying. I don't know if it is my computer or...
Okay,
or
I'll make it clear. He is saying that all these years, you had all these problems. Why are we now... Why is the ante now turned up? Why didn't you turn up the ante ever since?
Well, I don't know where the caller has been all these years, but certainly my voice in relation to this has been heard for many years. Not only that... We have most definitely complained and taken our complaints and concerns to the annual meeting of the with the CXC local registrar, the local council meeting every year. There are a whole set of complaints that we take there. And what
okay,
is supposed
okay,
to
okay, okay, okay. Caller, let me put it back to the caller. Caller, they've been doing stuff. I think where the auntie been raised really has been the parents because the children are directly involved. That question may more have to go to the parents, caller.
Okay, let me go on to a different point.
Yeah, please
right?
do.
She said that she responded to CXC about the change in the structure by drafting a letter. That's what I think she said before the news. I am wondering why, because she knew what the outcome would be, because which we are seeing now. There are things you can do more aggressively, seeing that this would have escalated into this level of dislocation and so for the students. There are things that could have been done. We are on the radio today. We didn't have this session before.
All right, stick a pen. We don't need all the extra thing. Ms. Redman, why you just draft a letter? He's saying there's more drastic things to do. Why not, you know, do like overseas and burn
things
down?
I don't know. Again, I'm really losing a lot of what he's saying. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he is aware, as I said, that we had the BSTU wrote to the Caribbean Union of Teachers because CARICOM, CXC is a regional institution. And at the level of the Caribbean Union of Teachers, we agitated for CUT to write to CXC and voice our concerns as regional trade unions. Coming out of that, CUT wrote to CXC, and we had a meeting on the 8th of May 2020 with the registrar, at which point in time we put all of our concerns, and I was very, very vocal at that meeting, and we put all of our concerns to the registrar and got very little satisfaction. We also, as I said, would have registered our concerns at the level of the Ministry of Education. As a union, we have to make sure always that we follow established process and procedure. And that is what we did.
Okay. So, caller, it seems like there's a process and they were following a process. Is that satisfactory to you?
It's not satisfactory. Corey, we are on a radio today. The parents, the teachers, everybody is able to...
But let's cut to the chase. What more would you want them to do? Tell us. If you wanted to burn tires in front of the players, tell us. I'm just using it as an example, but just give us some. What would you want a more radical?
Okay, our more radical protest would be big sensitization like we're doing now, and also nobody to take CXC. And there couldn't be enough CXC in the Caribbean. They would have been forced to go back to the table and do something about it.
A CXC boycott.
A boycott.
Ms. Raymond, is that one of the weapons in the arsenal? One of the arrows in the quiver? He wanted to know, couldn't you have done a CXC boycott and asked no one to take CXC?
But he is ascribing to the BSCU powers that rest far outside of our scope. I'm glad that he is seeing us as so powerful, and we certainly wish that we were, because had we been, we would not be in this fiasco.
All right,
no.
Pause again. Carla, she says it's outside of her scope.
Okay.
Or the scope of the union.
One final thing now. Mm-hmm. Question is to her now. I understand there was no second paper, right? And the issue seemed to be coming because there was no second paper, and they used the multiple choice as the rate for both the multiple choice and the second paper. Now, I think I lose my train of thought there. But if there is, okay, if that is the rating going right across, what would you have recommended then in its place? Okay. In order to get
good question. Good question. Okay, stand by. Stand back and stand by. He wants to know what, seeing that the problem have been the suspension of paper two, and they're just using paper one and the multiple choice. You don't agree with that. What would have been your alternative? What would have been your recommendation?
I saw no reason why students could not have done the paper two.
Good.
There was no reason why they could not have done the paper two.
Asked and answered. I see.
If necessary, the exam could have been postponed until later down in the year.
Okay. Let's go to Khalil and then the Trinidadian student and parents. I see you all have your hands up, so let's go. Khalil, you first.
Yes, Corey. I think that we have a problem, and we see it a lot of the time when education issues begin to come into the national sphere of discussion, that you have people who really might be thrown off all of their own or whatever, do not have access to all of the facts, so that people don't understand what is happening. If you don't understand, then you can only come with these kinds of things. But there are simple facts here, that an attempt to say that teachers have not done enough, or that parents haven't done enough, or students haven't done enough, that only serves to obscure and obfuscate the issue. The issue is that the credibility of CXC is at stake. And as an examining body, they have, that is all that they have really and truly. They sell their qualifications to the world. They sell their qualifications to universities. So long as this situation continues, their integrity is at stake, because we see in our news media every day reports about this, and we are not the only persons who read our news media who are aware of what is happening in our space. The internet has allowed everyone across the world to understand what is happening. I would not like the program to go down the rabbit hole of blaming teachers and students and all of these kinds of things. The fact of the matter is that for years, the Caribbean Examinations Council, particularly Barbados, has been disrespecting Barbados. I know that you have principals writing letters to them, and they don't even get an acknowledgement of receipt. So that CXC is experienced at disrespecting Barbados and Barbadians. And you saw it again in the response to our minister's earlier call. So that CXC is not running a rum shop. This isn't a Maisie shop around the corner. This is a regional institution which holds the futures of students in their hands. And so far, the rum shop behavior that has been displayed is unacceptable. So leave out the teachers and the students and all of that nonsense.
One of the things I want to add, though, for me, the goal of a program like this is when you have callers like callers that you may consider to be ignorant in the true sense of the word, not knowing. Programs like these allow for us not only to speak to them, but there may be many other people listening right now with the same questions or, you know, train of thought as callers like that. And then it gives you, the panelists and other callers, the opportunity to educate them in a mass-based way. So for me, that is the goal of the program. Both goal as G-O-A-L and G-O-L-D. We move over to the Trinidadian student and a parent. Let's hear from you right now.
All right. Well, before I start my point, I saw Ms. Denise said that from a legal standpoint, Trinidad can't withdraw from administering CAPE exams until it gives 2 years' notice. Mm-hmm. So that is one point why we haven't withdrawn as yet. And additionally, for us to withdraw from such a regional institution, it would take something on a large scale like what just happened this year for our ministers to be pushed to take such drastic action. Furthermore, this SBA issue has been in existence for a very long time. Teachers have been protesting, teachers have been refusing to mark SBAs, and ministers and CXC have told them, well, if you don't mark the SBAs, then the students are going to go up with nothing. And in doing so, they forced the teachers to mark the SBAs regardless of what happened. And someone also mentioned they don't see a reason why we shouldn't have wrote paper twos, and I agree. Because if we could have administered paper ones and put the students at risk to go to paper one exams during COVID, why couldn't we have done the more effective paper instead of paper ones? Because everybody knows that paper ones are mostly repeats. So the fact of the matter, I think, is that paper twos are a larger course to correct. And I think that is the core of the issue why CXC has refused to administer paper twos, because if they had enough manpower to correct SBAs, if they could bring us together to correct paper ones, then why couldn't we have done paper twos instead?
Let me ask you this direct question. Let me ask you this direct question. Do you think we would have had less controversy if we had done paper two and not paper one instead?
No, because anything. Yeah, I think so, because paper twos are accurate representation of students' abilities. Paper ones are purely repeats, and they're basically, can you regurgitate this, yes or no?
Excellent. Let's go over to Daryl Jordan and then Paula Ann Moore, and then back over to the telephone lines.
Hi, Corey. I've been receiving some messages, WhatsApp messages from teachers at Daryl Jordan School in annoyance at something that you would have said about the about the fact that I'm pleased with our results, that it highlights the inconsistencies, right? What I want to do is just clarify something. I've been teaching there for 6 years in the English department, and my specialty is English literature. And from the first year that I was teaching there, we received fairly good results. And when I say good, good is relative for some people, right? Because we are talking about students who would have failed the common entrance exam, right? From the same examining body of CXC. And then 7 years later, because we have developed a program in the English department, in the business department, that can push these students, that can get them to understand, we cater to them strategies that work with them, then we are able, and at the end of 5 years, 6 years, to get them to receive a grade three. So for us, or our grade two. So for us, that is remarkable, right? Good. That is pleasing for us. Just a little clarification.
I want to thank you very much for that. I believe that when you said that, the person took it out of context, believing that we had almost like a reversal of results, where everybody at Daryl Jordan, who would have accustomed, let's say, getting a 2, 3, 4, were now getting 1, 2, 3s, and that is not what you were saying. So I'm just glad that you were able to clarify that. I just received what is supposed to be the weighting of the mathematics paper, and if this is correct, this brings a good weight, all pun intended, to what it is we were discussing when we look at paper one and paper two, SBA and paper one. Now, in mathematics, it is said that multiple choice paper one is given 30%, paper two is given 50%, and the SBA is given 20%, a total of 100%. Now, if you use SBA and paper one, that's 50%. Which would now mean that the SBA will carry 20% and the multiple choice will carry 80%. Another thing that's been thrown in by a number of persons sending messages, it said that before, a sample of 5 papers from every school or every year or every section would be sampled for moderation. And they said this year, all papers were done by CXC. And they think that that is part of the issue. I think that would have been raised in before when they talked about the fact that CXC does not necessarily mark all of the SBAs. They don't have the manpower to do it, but they did it this year. They could have done paper two.
There's no clear evidence that was done either.
Exactly. No clear evidence that what was done.
There's no clear evidence that all the papers were marked.
Were moderated.
The, right. the five samples were still submitted. Mm-hmm. We are told that in cases where there was a very high variance, they requested more papers from mm-hmm. that school, maybe not all. Mm-hmm. They requested more papers, but there is no evidence. I have heard people saying, yes. I didn't hear for myself. I heard people saying that the registrar has said that all papers were marked. Mm-hmm. And as the students are alluding to, but not really saying, does CXE have the manpower to moderate all papers? And I guess I can let your listeners answer that question for themselves. Mm-hmm. Do they have the manpower to moderate every single SBA in every single subject in every single country in the region?
If I could jump in here too, mm-hmm. Puri. Mm-hmm. No, I want to underscore exactly what Curtis has said, because in our meeting of the 24th with the registrar, he indicated exactly that when there were disparities, but that they, okay, all this year, all of the SBAs, the full complement in every subject was supposedly uploaded to CXE. They did the sample, and if there were disparities in the sample between the large disparities between the teacher's mark and the moderator's mark, then the full complement in that subject area would have been corrected. That is what he said to us. But subsequent to that, I understand that comments were made from CXE that all SBAs were corrected. And to underscore what Curtis has said, how is that possible with the tens of thousands of SBAs that would have been uploaded to CXE within the time frame and with a given number? Some subjects only have at CAPE level 6 or 7 assistant examiners or markers. How could that facilitate the marking of all SBAs in that particular subject at CAPE level within the time frame? So again, there's an inconsistency here in what is coming from CXE in relation to the SBAs marked.
That's definitely something that has to be put squarely to them as well for them to answer. Paula Amor, let's hear from you.
Thank you, Corey. Before I say what I had initially planned to say, I just want to briefly touch on your analysis of the weighting. And you made some assumptions, which are logical, as to what the new revised weighting was with the removal of paper 2. But I need to remind you and the public that CXE has yet definitively to confirm that is how they calculated the weighting. To the best of my knowledge, and Mary can confirm or otherwise, the registrar has been asked that question a number of times, and he has yet definitively to confirm the revised weighting. But I just want to move on from there. What I also want to commend you for, Corey, is reminding us that this forum is to serve the purpose of educating the public. And I have to apologize first to the public if I was a bit heated in my last contribution, but sometimes I get very passionate, especially when injustice appears to be perpetrated or alluded to. I just want to remind the public that they should not conflate any inequities and perceptions of privilege within the system. Please do not conflate that or confuse that with the fact that we're talking about children. Not all of these children who are querying their grades are from privileged backgrounds. My family is blessed that we have some privileges and some alternatives, but there are some children for whom these grades, which has been touched on before, are the means by which that they can lift themselves and their families onto a better life. And these children worked very hard. I don't think people quite understand. I didn't understand until my children were involved how incredibly difficult CAPE is. It begs the question whether it needs to be, but that's a whole other conversation. And having worked so hard, having been asked to come out in the middle of a pandemic, which, as I say again, most of the developed countries in the world found other means to ascertain an end of academic year grade that was reasonable and fair in view of this unprecedented situation, having forced these children to come out, and they came out and they did their best. And those that say, oh, they were stressed by COVID, these children are very focused children. Having asked them to do all of that, and then to assault them with these results, and then to further assault them with the callous, inhumane communication by the registrar and CEO. And as I said, he needs to either apologize and or go along by his business. His management of the communication and the entire process is unacceptable. But moving on, what we are trying to come up with is an immediate solution-based fair resolution of this matter. And again, I go back to the UK precedent. Those children who are happy with their grades, fine. Those children who appear to have been disadvantaged by the fundamentally flawed process perpetrated by CXC, their grades need to be upgraded to the expected, predicted performance. They need to be updated this week. The time sensitivity of this matter is critical due to the emotional distress and to try to achieve the emotional well-being of these children and their teachers. Have some certainty. We forget that there are the former fifth formers that, to the best of my knowledge, they still have not been allocated to lower six to start their CAPE. We have a truncated academic year ended 2021. We do not know what COVID has in its gift bag for us. CXC, in their wisdom, still has not told the teachers or the public to what extent they're going to revise the syllabi for the year ended 2021 in view of the fact that the academic year is truncated for many levels. And there is an urgency that I think the short-term period, we need to have a solution that's equitable and fair in view of the mess that CXC has made. And then we can look about at having a more detailed examination of what went wrong, you know, and come up with a solution thereafter. But let's focus on what we can do to make things right for these children, the teachers, the parents, who have been so adversely affected. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's hear from Camira Fraser, and then I don't know if y'all could take your hands down so I could make sure we would go through the ones that have already raised their hand. So let's hear from Fraser.
Okay, thank you. So with respect to paper two, so I don't know if you know, but some subjects you actually had to write paper two this year, for example, Spanish, French, Portuguese, human and social biology, and those subjects are subjects you don't have SBAs or IAs for, with the exception of CAPE, Spanish and French. So I wrote Spanish, and there was no problems. There were no problems in this area. And the thing about CAPE Spanish is that you don't just write paper one and paper two. You write paper one, paper two, paper three, and paper four. And for all of those, you have to be in public. You have to be at the examination center. So yes, we really and truly could have written paper two. If you already have me out there, you know, sitting down there for an hour and a half to fill in circles, you could have had me there for a half hour longer writing essay questions, and then you would have seen my true capabilities. So if, you know, the couple thousand students that wrote Spanish, if they were there, let's see, 2 hours for papers, two and three, that's four hours, and then an hour and a half for the speaking component, and then another an hour and a half for the paper one, you know, that's what, 3 and 7 hours you have me out there exposed. You could have had me there for the rest of my subjects. I could have been writing essays. And so really and truly, It's just so unfair. And then also, what happened to our money? They said that they were going to use our money, the money that we paid them, to mark the IA components of the exam. But what happened to it? We deserve transparency. And that's, oh, and then also, before I forget, the review process. So as you know, CXE wants us to pay for reviews, $30 per subject. So this is not an ordinary case where usually when students receive one or two bad grades, they'll pay $60 for those two grades. We have cases, I know of a student who received one grade three and four grade fives. And so they asked their teacher, predicted grade for the grade three was of course a one. And the student's mother, unfortunately, she was put out of work and she cannot afford to pay for the rest of the reviews, you know? So people who cannot pay for reviews, what's going to happen to them?
Very good point. Very, very, very interesting
exactly
point.
Exactly what's going to happen to them. And traditionally, reviews just involve going over the marks. They don't regrade anything. So what's going to happen to the students with respect to the reviews, the students that cannot pay? Because a lot of people have been put out of work. So the least they could have done for us was to make the reviews free or just waiver the fee. That's the least they could have done for us.
All right, let's hear from Trinidadian student and parent. I have two or three persons here messaging me claiming to be from CXC. Some of the information is interesting, so I'll read it just for discussion purposes until it can be verified. But go ahead, Trinidadian student and parent.
Just to answer, I believe it was Mr. Luke that asked if we know for sure if CXC marked all of the school-based assessments. In the video released by CXC in March prior to exams, the CEO said, and I quote, "The modified approach includes the administration of one common paper and the moderation of all school-based assessments. Without paper two being administered, the council has to give more careful attention to equivalence," end quote. So from what he said before exams, we know for sure that they remarked all of the IAs. But then again, he said contradictory things after results as well. So we can't really trust everything fully. Additionally, we paid for the administration of three papers and yet we only got one. Why is it that we still have to pay for queries? The students in my country, at least, I know so many talented students who don't have the economic capabilities to pay for any of these things. And yet, because we live in a capitalist society where monopolies like CXE can take advantage of the poor man on the street, these students are left to suffer.
Very interesting again, too, because you pay for two and get one. Now, what my ghost CXC writers are saying is that the computer corrects the multiple choice. And therefore, because they didn't have to do the paper two, they had the manpower to do all. They put all in bold and underline all of the SBA moderation. That, again, is not verified. They should be here to say it as opposed to be behind a WhatsApp number saying it. But I can just pass on that information for consideration and for question to the CXC people. Let me tap over to the telephone lines. Let's take a call or two here and then come back to the panel. Very interesting. Lots of information coming out into the open. Come out things. Come out things. 5 minutes after one, Brass Tax Sunday. Go right ahead.
Corey, good afternoon to you or your esteemed interactors.
Thank you.
I just want to say that this is a very interesting program. However, there should be someone there from the BCC to represent the young nurses, who some of them were grade A students and with a lot of A's and B's, but still they cannot pass the Caribbean Nurses Council exam simply because the same people that are dealing with the young students now that are speaking about the discrepancies and causing them to be so frustrated are the same people who correct the papers for the young nurses. And I spoke to Ms. Redmond about this some time ago, and she told me that that's one of the things that they were going to look at. Since I spoke to her, I have not heard anything. And I would like to know why, Corey, you didn't get someone from the BCC to also speak on the behalf of the young nurses. And I want to say this also, Corey. Someone told me that it has to do with the teaching, and I don't think so. Because how can you have grade A, straight A students and students with lots of A's and B's and still can't pass the council exam? And then you know what to do? They say, well, we can give you another chance. We can move from 3 to 4 and from 3 to 4 chances to deal with it. And if and I want to know why it is that the students down the islands can work with the syllabus and pass the exams all the time and the Bajans can't pass it. And I heard one of your esteemed guests there saying that they are from Barbados, and I couldn't agree with that person more.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, caller. Very interesting things you've placed on the table. We hear more from the panel and the callers. And, of course, we take in some messages when we return on this Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, let's get a couple of the messages here, and then we will go back to the panel. This one says, hi, Corey. I only tuned in the program from noon. However, from what I've been hearing, it is clear that CXC has a lot to answer. This one says, the difference this year with SBS is not only a sample of 5 were moderated, but all were marked. All. So marks were adjusted on scale of each candidate, and they got their individual and actual mark. An example of 5 was out of the tolerance of the entire school's SBA. When persons go to foreign universities, the CSEC and CAPE certification will not have any worth. CSC needs to scrap the SBA and administer paper 2 only. But please note, all SBAs were submitted. To say all were submitted does not necessarily mean all were marked, but nonetheless. Let's take another one here. There's some other interesting ones I wanted to read. It says, SBA from all schools were moderated, but all SBAs in each school were not necessarily remarked. It is only necessary to remark the whole school if the teacher's scores are inconsistent. If a teacher is consistently severe or consistently lenient, a moderation decision is applied based on the sample of 5 to the whole class. Just wanted to give those specific ones. Right, that one is not appropriate. Right, just to remember, people 40 years and older will remember that we did used to use Cambridge, and we need to understand that we have options. Okay, let's go to Denise Ewell and let's see what she has to say at this time.
With regard to some of the issues raised about moderation, yes, all the SBAs were moderated, right? But I think it goes back to what I think it was Marianne or Paula had said earlier on, who is it that CXE employed to moderate these SBAs? Because we have to wonder whether these people were qualified or not. Were they teachers? Because as far as I'm concerned, the only people fully equipped to moderate SBAs should be other teachers or, you know, university lecturers or something like that. Right. The other thing is that I'd like to address our queries by CXE. In the past, up to about, I believe, 5 years ago, queries were remarks. Now, it is no longer that CXE remarks the students' papers when you request a query. It's a simple recount. People are paying upwards of 60 Bajan for a recount. That is just not right, because if indeed there was an error, all right, it wouldn't really be picked up. And as a teacher, I could say that in the past, let's say from 10 years ago, when you request a query, many of the times those queries would come back as better grades. But now it's not so, all right? I even know of cases where people have submitted queries and they never actually got back the refund when the query came back a better grade. I mean, all of these things are inconsistencies with CXC that really do need to be addressed.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. And who's next?
Corey, can I jump in?
Please go ahead.
I don't, Denise is stating as a fact that all the SBAs were marked. And I am still unsure that that is true. And I've gotten messages from persons who were involved in the marking of SBAs indicating that that was not the case. Mm-hmm. Now, in relation to the whole review remark process, up until CXC introduced online marking, you could pay and get a review done. And a review at that point in time involved not what happens now, simply someone checking over the marks that were already allocated to ensure that they were added up correctly, and therefore the final addition was correct before your paper was actually remarked. CXC charges you $60 Barbados, $30 US to engage in a process only of adding up the marks to make sure that the final score was in fact correct. It has bothered me as to why CXC has changed its policy in this regard. And I'm going to ask a question because I would not risk to put the station in any legal state of discomfort. But since online marking was introduced, has CXC ever finished marking scripts fully before examination results were officially released? And has this in any way contributed to CXC's change in policy in relation to review as opposed to remark?
I think that those questions, as I say, we could put out a press statement in paper, full page, something, but I think that they need to be asked and answered. One of the recommendations I would like to make, I'll use my privilege to put it out there, is probably CARICOM could come so we can get an independent body, a subcommittee, the going of probably some of the ministries of education and representation like we have on this panel, to go in and take a look at what's happening. That's called accountability, transparency, and so on. And I think that will put a lot of these things to rest, and even some of the older issues, because, and I put no weight on a lot of the messages I'm being sent here. There are people here saying they are teachers of the subjects of CXC, and they marked them this year themselves. They were part of the CXC process of remarking them. So on one hand, we are hearing that this did not happen, and on the other hand, we are hearing people's verifying, and again, via WhatsApp, saying that it was done. So I don't think that we should play with that. I think that we should go on to CXC to answer these questions frontally to the entire Caribbean. I think this is not something that we should even be discussing at this point, 3 weeks in. This one says, would it be embarrassing for the whole CXC fracas to highlight some questionable markings of CXC at the school level? So there are other people who are looking at it from the other end, but they don't want to play with that again. It is not productive. It's counterproductive to the whole discussion. There was one I really thought I wanted to read. It says, why don't CXC just admit that their experiment failed? At least the late Professor Arthur said, you know, face it and fix it. The failed experiment is an embarrassment on the Caribbean, seeing that CXC is a regional institution. So there are people weighing in from all sides. Let's go over the telephone lines. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, panel.
Good afternoon.
I'm speaking as a total layman and a listener, and I didn't do CXC. I did A-level and O-level. So maybe I have no understanding of what is going on. But from the explanations and the things I'm hearing, this makes absolutely no sense to me. Absolutely no sense. Because if on one hand you're telling, when I send an exam, I go into an exam with the belief that I will write something, I will do something, and then that will be marked and graded. But if you're telling me, on one hand, that you are applying an algorithm to something, I have to ask the question, why are you applying an algorithm? If you give me a multiple choice paper, I can either get 0 or 100. So what algorithm do you have to apply to that? If I submit a paper, if something is marked, if an SBA has been marked and sent in by a teacher or what have you, and whatever grade that is, what algorithm do you have to apply for that? So when you start telling me that you are applying an algorithm to something, you're telling me that you aren't looking per se at my paper, but you're looking at the collection of papers and then determining from that collection of papers and selection of those papers from that there what grades should be assigned across the whole board of papers. That is what that tells me. So therefore, if you tell me on one hand that you've marked all the papers, then you can't look at me and tell me that you then applied an algorithm something. No, the biggest thing to me, again, the fact that we have to depend on the students and the parents to be the people that are at the forefront of this protest, to me, is wrong. This is a responsibility of the ministries of education of the various countries, because this is dealing with the people of those of these countries and the children of these countries. And the first people that should be up front telling CXC, you tell me you're going to have a review, you must be crazy. We demand a review, and we demand somewhat. We demand a selection of papers so that we can see for ourselves, independent bodies, to make sure that what you have said or done was correct. We demand it. This is madness that here going on, and it's an absolute embarrassment. I can't put it any other different, Corey.
Good point. Thank you. Let's take another call. Very powerful and very good points as usual. Good afternoon, and welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
As a student myself, I've been listening to the program since the beginning, and I've agreed with some of the points made, but I think a very crucial point has been inadvertently ignored. We have all agreed that the CXC exams this year were made up of paper ones and the SBA or the IA. It has already been said that the paper one questions are often repeated. Sometimes some papers are made up of all repeat questions. Now, the grades that are usually given out are also based on how the students of the entire Caribbean did. I pose to you this scenario. If most questions were repeated and students know of this, then how the CXC is faced with the problem that all the students have done fairly well to excellent. So now, if all the students have done well and passed the exams, how does CXC determine who should receive grade ones and what's not? Therefore, I strongly believe that the problem is that CXC needs a new grading system where there are fixed percentages instead of changing the ranges which grades are allocated each year.
Thank you very much. I get where that quality is coming from, because a grade 3 could have passed the exam, but they fall within the 1, 2, 3. All right, let me just leave that one there. I don't want to confuse the issue anymore, because if you have the fixed percentages, everyone that does well and just gets a good mark as opposed to a range, I believe the caller was trying to say. Let's take one more call, and then I want to put a number of messages to the panel and let them give their final thoughts on those messages. Brastax, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
First, I would like to publicly commend Ms. Paula Moore for her strident efforts in bringing these issues to the table, because I think she's been the face, at least from the Barbadian perspective, the face of this protest. So I would like to commend her and to express my personal gratitude, because I have a child who has been impacted by this whole debacle. The next thing I would like to put on the table is to get a clarity once and for all. Was every single SBA in every single subject from every single student from every single school moderated? If that's the case, they would have had to have an army of moderators to achieve what they have achieved in the time period within which they said they've achieved it. I am not convinced that that is the case.
What is your take on what, again, a ghostwriter wrote that they did not have to correct paper two, so they used that manpower to regrade or moderate the SBAs?
Well, if that was the case, why did we do that paper? Why did we not do paper two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's assume that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
why is it that students who from a school which traditionally has done well, are you saying that all of those teachers in those schools are suddenly now inflating those SBAs to the point that, having been moderated, those students will fall from a grade 1 to a grade 5 or grade 4 or grade 3 or even a grade 2? That, again, does not make sense. And I know the SBA process, having gone through it at least 3 times. And it is a very methodical where you have at least 4. I mean, I don't want to repeat what people have said on this mm-hmm. program before, but mm-hmm. it needs to be reiterated. These papers are reviewed at least 3 or 4 or 5 times. I have one teacher who says she works to the point where they get as close to 100% as possible, because it is a possibility to get 100%. So if you have a child who is willing and able to review and to be, the child has to put in the effort, they will not get 100% if they don't put in the effort. But if they put in the effort and the rubric is followed and the teacher has given them the guidance, of course, it will get 100%.
But I'm in a separate chat looking at a discussion like that. And the response to that is that teachers, and again, I'm just reading, because last time people thought, interpreted as my thought. So the teacher, someone in here as a teacher is saying, we as teachers teach students to pass using a particular formula. And as soon as the formula is adjusted, everything goes downhill. So we kind of teaching to pass as opposed to teaching for knowledge. How do you respond to that chat?
That is not the situation with SBA. SBA is a research mm-hmm. paper.
No,
there's no formula for the research. And even if there is a formula, the formula has been set by CXE. They say that for the exposition, you are supposed to do A, B, and C. And once you've done A, B, and C, you get 10 marks
mm-hmm.
for the literary review.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And one
if
of these...
If you do A, B, and C, and you've done the literary review, mm-hmm. you can have 5 marks. There's no magic to it.
And I think and the students, all the students online would have made that point. What we are asking for is the marks for what the work that we put in. So that would then negate from the other point that I raised from the chat. But thank you very much, sir.
One last point, though.
Very quickly.
There's a solution.
Yes.
Don't we get the unmoderated SBA marks as provided by the teachers? Couple that with the mark that has been presented by the paper one, and award a grade accordingly. I mean, there's no loss of face. There's no loss of you know, just we said we're going to use unmoderated marks, so take that off the table.
Thank you very much. When the panel responds, I want to y'all could answer that in particular too. I just want to read these last messages, and then we'll close out with the remarks of all the panelists. Good afternoon. I may have missed this, but I just want to present a case for the modern foreign language students who did all the papers. Some of the marks were a lot lower than usual, and I do not understand this as an educator for more than 30 years. So again, this is somebody that did all the papers, and they're still having the same issue. This one says, I'm from Trinidad, and my issue is that when I signed up for this exam, I was given a published syllabus, a published rubric, and a format of exam. CXE has modified that format without my consent. I was also expected to be graded solely on paper one. I was not expecting to be graded solely on paper one and SBA. My exam strategy was to basically do the bare minimum for SBA and excel in paper two and one, as other students also do. CXE has breached its contract with me and my examination format and rubric. That's an interesting one. He had a strategy going in and it was changed midway on him. This one says, I was given an A for practical ability and the same was moderated, and the moderator also gave me an A. I got 149 out of 50 for this SBA. Is this how CXE assessed my practical ability and it was confirmed by the moderator? So why didn't I get an A in my final grade or a 1? This one says, good morning from Canada. I've been following the CXE story. I'm not well versed in the process, but what is alarming to me is the constant mentioning of students wanting to commit suicide because of their marks. To me, that is very troubling. Life will present many obstacles, disappointment, and if these kids can't cope from now, what will happen to them in the future when they're faced with maybe bigger problems and issues? This last one, good morning, Corey. One of the reasons I supported the teacher's objections to correcting SBA is because of the subjectivity that may appear and be involved. I believe independent person should correct the SBAs. That's from an earlier message. So Over to you, panel, to take us home and to kind of dissect everything that we've just read and heard from the general public across the Caribbean.
To close off, Corey, I think we should always look at be solutions oriented in concluding. CXC has itself in a bind. What has happened, you've heard it extensively, the trouble that they are in because they only use the paper one and because they only use the SBA. Such that, and to a large extent, you would have had students many students doing better than usual or doing very well because those two papers because of the nature of those two papers, as has been pointed out. So that, to combat that issue, because clearly CXC as an examining body cannot produce 99% grade ones. While that might sound like a good thing for an examining body to have, it will appear to the outside world that CXC is a joke if that were to happen. So they have to protect and guard against that. So they went about doing that by toggling and twisting up with the SBAs. And we're hearing all kinds of different things about what happened with the SBA process. And that is where they sought to correct what had happened. They went about it all wrong. If you start wrong, you can't end right. So the simple thing for them to do would be to factor in the predicted grades in a much more significant way, and alter the grades to that effect to ensure that we have fair and equitable grades. And I encourage the people of Barbados to mirror the passion of persons like Mrs. Moore when it comes to these issues of injustice. Mirror that passion and join us and stand up against what is really an injustice. And I know that CXC senior officials have been listening, and I hope that they take on board the advice that they need to be more communicative. Too many mixed messages are coming on, frankly, no messages at all.
Correct. When something is wrong, you have to say that it is wrong. We don't have enough time to get through, but if anyone have any burning comments they want to close up with, we do that quickly now.
Yes, Corey. This is Paula Ann Moore. Just out of swiftness, I just want to invite the public to attend our march and protest tomorrow, 2 to 4, Independence Square to Browns Beach. Wear white. Even if you can't attend the protest, we're calling throughout the region for everybody to wear white in solidarity. This is a regional problem. It requires regional solution, and everyone should come out and support what we are saying. CXC must be held accountable. We are also demanding that there is a response of equitable response this week. And we're talking about changing the grades, or at least an indication that there will be change this week, not just a report on the 16th of October. That is unacceptable.
Thank you very, very much. It brings us just to 29 minutes after, as promised by the producer. We go right to 1:30. I want to thank you very much, all those who called, the panelists, the persons who sent messages, even the ghostwriters. I want to thank you for the food for thought. And I thank my producer. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. And the final thanks goes to Williams Industries Incorporated for making this possible. Do have a great afternoon.